Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, good morning to you again. It is great to get to be here together for those of us who are able to be here today. And I spent some time this week just reflecting on this past year. And this year seems like it was so long. It's kind of hard to remember that it wasn't very long ago that we weren't able to be here gathering together. And we know for many of you joining us online, you're still not able to join us. And that's okay. We understand that. But it is a true joy and a blessing to be able to gather together, and it's something we don't want to take for granted because we know how quickly life can change. And so we're grateful for this chance together this morning. I have always really loved podcasts and audiobooks. So a couple years ago, I made the investment. I got some of these little earbuds, you know, and I really enjoy these because they're very small. They're simple to use. You can just pop them in and just go about your day. And so what I really like about listening to audiobooks and podcasts is it lets me to multitask, right? Because it's easy to listen to something while I'm doing other things, and I can really feel like I'm getting something done. And so a lot of times I'll just pop one of these in and just go about my day. But I have this habit of sometimes I'll put one in and I'll be walking around the house and you know, they're kind of hard to see. And so people in the home don't always notice you have one in. And so we have this situation happen a lot where I'm listening to my book, I'm just cruising along, and all of a sudden I hear this mumbling sound from off in the distance. And I learn and I realize that mumbling sound is Jess trying to tell me something. But since I have my earbuds in, I can't really understand what she says, and so I respond with that famous, huh? Right, did you say something, right? And she may be trying to tell me something very important, but because of the noise in my ears, I miss out on what she's trying to say. And so she loves to give me a hard time about that. And maybe you found yourself in that position where you think somebody's talking to you and you go to respond and then they kind of point at their ear because they're talking on their phone and they're not talking to you, right? So we've run into that problem. But the challenge is we can easily miss out on the voices we really need to hear because of the noise that's blocking us from hearing those important voices. So we live in a day and a time that is full of a lot of noise and a lot of voices. We live in a time where everyone has a platform to make their voice be heard, and that can be a good thing. There's a lot of positives from that, but there's also a lot of dangers from that. And obviously, if you have paid attention to the happenings of our world this week, we would agree that we are going through one of the most polarized times in the history of our nation. And regardless of where you stand on any of these issues, and no matter what you think is right or wrong on these, what we would all agree is that we are strongly divided. We live in a world right now that thrives off of chaos and confusion and division. And if you want your voice to be heard, the way to make your voice be heard is to be the most chaotic or the most divisive voice around. The voices that are calling for peace and unity and fellowship in this, those voices are really silenced by the voices of chaos and confusion. And the problem with this is we really struggle to know what voice are we supposed to listen to. I read a quote this week that I've really been reflecting on a lot. It's in a book by Pastor Ray Steadman, and he says this: "We are relentlessly being assaulted by the false values of a dying world." Now, there's some very strong words in there. We are relentlessly being assaulted. That is strong language there. But the idea is we don't have to go out of our way to look for voices of this world, right? You don't have to try to find the noise and the voices and the values of our world. We are constantly bombarded with the values of this world. But the problem is, we know that we live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that is full of fallen men and women, and we live in a world of sin, and we live in a world that is dying. And so the values that we are constantly hearing all throughout our day are values of a dying world. And I don't know about you, but the louder these voices become, the easier it is for me to become afraid and confused. It's scary to listen to some of the things that we're hearing, and it's really confusing to know what is true and what is not. What am I supposed to do in these situations? It's really, really hard. And so I want to draw our attention back to our theme verse from the book of 2 Timothy. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is the verse that we are using to kind of build this whole series on. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, when we are assaulted by the values of a dying world, it's very difficult to not be overcome by fear. It's very difficult to not feel a lack of power, and it's very difficult to continue to strive to love and to have any idea of what a sound mind would even look like. And so when the voices of this world are the loudest thing that we hear, this is not going to be our reality. Instead, our reality will be one of fear and confusion. And we know that that's not what God wants for us, but here we are kind of stuck with what do we do? These voices are loud. We know that this isn't what God wants for us, but how do we respond? And so that brings us to our text today. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And our hope in these verses is that we will learn how can we respond to these to the noise of the world in such a way that we will be able to live out the life that God has for us. You know, what options do we really have, right? We can either throw our phones and our TV away and go live in the woods and just enjoy that. And I know some of you, that sounds wonderful. But if that's not an option for us, how do we continue to live in this world and not be overcome by it? So our verses for this morning say this: "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." Father, we ask now as we come to your word and we're reading these verses about your word, that you would really open our eyes and our hearts to hear what it is that you have for us. Father, you have the words of life. God, the words of this world are words of death, but you have the words of life. And Father, I pray today that you would help us to honestly evaluate ourselves and to know what source it is and what voice it is that we are truly orienting our lives around. So Father, I pray and ask today that you would show us the areas of our life where we may not be aligning with your word, even though we think we may be. So God, may your spirit guide our discussion and may your spirit move among your people and show us, Father, how we can better follow you to experience the life that you would have for us and to give you the glory in the way that we live. It's in your great name we pray. Amen. So here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we have seen two different kinds of people. The beginning verses talked about these people who had an outward appearance of godliness, but inwardly, they were very much consumed with self-centeredness. And so these people, they looked the part. They looked like they were living lives that were pursuing the Lord, but they weren't actually allowing God's word to transform them. And so instead of being genuinely pursuing the Lord in their lives, they were actually using their false godliness as a way to take advantage of very vulnerable people. But then we see Timothy. And here we see Timothy is this young man who he genuinely allowed God's word to transform him. He allowed God's word to direct his life and to determine his course of action. And he had this, we saw a couple weeks ago that he didn't just do this alone. He was blessed to have a wonderful heritage of people who were helping him to orient his life around God's word. So beginning with his family and then going on to the Apostle Paul and many others, he was surrounded by relationships that were urging him towards orienting his life around God's word. And so we talk about this a lot, but we really can't overemphasize how critical relationships are if we want to get this right. But relationships enough alone are not enough, because we all have relationships, and some relationships are leading us away from God's word, and some are leading us towards God's word. And so what we notice about the relationships that Timothy had is that these relationships were built upon the truths of Scripture. And it was the truths of Scripture that guided Timothy and allowed him to experience a life of overcoming. So overcoming looked different to Timothy because he didn't have the circumstances that we have today, but Timothy was still faced with the same problems. He still faced the same struggles of living within a world that was pursuing their own desires, but doing so in such a way that he would not be overcome by the world's decisions. And so these are verses that you may be very familiar with, and these are probably some of the most popular verses from 2 Timothy. But what we want to look at today is, what are we supposed to do with these verses in our day and time, right? And how do these verses fit within the greater letter of this letter to Timothy? And so from these verses, we're going to look at what the Bible is, what the Bible does, and what the Bible produces. So first, we're going to look at this idea, what the Bible is. And we see that in the first part of verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So what is the Bible? You see here that this really important idea that all Scripture, right, all of it, that includes everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all of it was given to us by God. Now, I don't know about you, but there's parts of the Bible that as I read, I might be a little uncomfortable with. There's parts of the Bible that we read it and maybe we really struggle to understand it, or maybe we just really don't want to embrace that. But what we have to recognize is that this is very important, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every part of it is valuable for us. Every part of it is important for us. And every part of it, whether we like it or not, is really good for us. You see, the world doesn't mind all of the Bible. There's parts of the Bible that the world can get behind, especially if they can use their own definitions to understand it. But what the world pushes us to do is to embrace parts of the Bible while rejecting other parts of the Bible. But that doesn't work, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for us. And so what do we do with those parts of Scripture that we may be uncomfortable with, and those parts of Scripture that maybe we honestly wish we could change? Do we allow God's word in those times to be the authority, or do we kind of play the part of God? It's very easy for us to kind of pick and choose as we're reading and say, there's parts of the Scripture I can really get behind, but there's other parts I'm really just not certain about. So all Scripture is given. You think of the word given, this is a gift. How often do you think of Scripture and think, this is God's gift to me? You know, God didn't have to give us his word. God could have created us and left us here without his word, and we would have really had no way of knowing him or knowing the world as he intended it to be. But God gave his word. It's easy for us to become complacent with the Scripture. It's easy for us to not recognize the blessing that it really is in our lives, but this is a great gift to us from the Lord, and we don't want to move away from that. All parts of Scripture are given to us as a gift from the Lord. And now we get into this last idea, that all Scripture is given by God, given by inspiration of God. Now, this word inspiration is maybe a word you're not very familiar with. It's a big church word. You've probably heard it before, but it's a word we throw around a lot. And maybe if you were really asked, what does that mean? Maybe you would struggle to answer that. The word inspiration is really a two-part word, and it means God breathed. Okay, so a lot of translations will translate this as saying all Scripture is breathed out by God. Because when you think of the word inspiration, there's a lot of ways that people can be inspired. You know, you think of, you hear a great musical masterpiece, and for those of you who can play instruments, maybe that really inspires you to go play. Or you see a sports performance and you just feel inspired, or those movies that really inspire you. And that's not what this is talking about, okay? The Bible was not written by guys who just got this really excited feeling and decided to go write down what they were thinking. Scripture was breathed out by God. And that is very important for us to not get away from. And so while we read these letters, and we know, you know, 2 Timothy, for example, was written by Paul, and so sometimes you'll hear us say, you know, Paul says, what we are always saying is that God said through the Apostle Paul. And that is very important. As wonderful as Paul was, Paul is not the God of this universe. But God breathed his word. And so I want to give you a little illustration that's commonly used about this. And maybe some of you have been on a sailboat before. Maybe you've been out on the ocean or you've been on a lake. And you know, you're sitting on this boat and you're riding in this boat. But what's actually moving and propelling that boat is the wind. And it's the same way as we think about this idea that Scripture is God-breathed. And so, yes, God used individuals to write down these words for us. But God was breathing those words into the minds of those people as they wrote. And so as we are reading these words, we are reading the very words that God intended for you to have about himself and about the reality of this world. That is a great gift that we have. So all scripture is breathed out by God. And this is why this is so important. There is one God who created this world. There is one God who set reality in order. There is one God who determines what is true. And that one God has breathed out his words into this book for us. There's a lot of books that you may read and that they may challenge your thinking and they may get you excited, but this is the only book that is given by the creator of all things who knows reality and truth. This book is different and this book is unique, and these words are the very words of life to us from God. And so the Bible allows us to see reality from God's perspective. And that is such a critical thing as we think about what the Bible is. The Bible is God's portrayal of reality. The Bible tells us who God is, it tells us who we are, and it tells us what this world is, and it tells us the importance of the things that God thinks we need to know about. And so the Bible helps us to see God's reality. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay, that means it's good for you. It's useful, it's helpful, it's beneficial. And so these are more than just words for us to read and to know and to be familiar with. These are words that God desires us to be transformed by. These are words that God desires us to shape the framework of our life around, because these words are profitable and they are good for us. So what voice or noise is more real in your life? Does the voice of the false values of this dying world play so loudly in your ears that we miss out on the God-breathed words for us? Or are the words from our God so real and loud and true and delightful in your life that you're able to hear the noise of the world but not be overcome by it? And I know we can really quickly answer that question and say, of course God's word is the loudest voice in my life. But when you really reflect on the patterns of your day, what voice are you really giving more attention to? What voice are you actually allowing more opportunity to speak into your reality? The voice of the world or the voice of our God? So the Bible is the picture of God's reality for us, and it's the way that we can know our great God. Verse 16 goes on. It tells us what the Bible does. Okay, so the Bible is profitable for us, but how is it profitable? What does it do for us? And we see here that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So when we look at these four words, they really group together into two ideas. The first two really focus on what we know, and the second two focus on what we do. So the Bible is profitable for doctrine. This is the idea of truth. The Bible tells us what is true, okay? So apart from God giving us his word, we would have no authority or no clarity on what is actually true. Your perception would be just as equally valid as your perception or my perception. But God's word is profitable because it gives us the truth. It tells us what we should believe, and it tells us the truth of who we are and who God is and what this world is all about. And so this book offers us more than just true statements to believe, but it offers us a whole framework and a paradigm through which we can see and interpret and understand what's happening in the world around us. It's also valuable for reproof. So this is the idea of it tells us where we're thinking wrongly. So it doesn't just tell us what is true, it also tells us, hey, over here, you are wrong in this way of thinking. Have you ever been so confident about something to later on find out that you were wrong, right? Those times are kind of hard. It's easy to be just so sure of something, and you're just so confident, and you say, you know, you just challenge your friends, yeah, look it up, I know I'm right on this, and they look it up, and then that moment sinks in like, oh, I'm not as brilliant as I maybe thought I was, right? Those moments are hard, but the Bible does that for us. The Bible helps us to see things that we may be so confident of, but we grow to Scripture and the Scripture tells us you're wrong. The Scripture tells us you are not thinking clearly or you're not thinking from God's reality in this area. So the Bible is profitable for reproof because all of us need reproof. All of us have ways that we think that do not line up with God's reality. But if we don't expose ourselves to the truth of God's word, those realities are never questioned or challenged. And so we continue to live our lives in these false assumptions because we fail to allow the Bible to change and to challenge our way of thinking. So first, the Bible changes how we think, but then it goes on to change how we live. The Bible is profitable for correction, okay? This is the idea of it gets you back on the right path. The Bible tells you the areas of your life, the actions that you're doing that do not line up with God's desire for you. And this is, again, a really important idea when we think about how our world functions. Because our world functions to say that happiness comes when you get to do whatever you want to do. Happiness is only available when you are in control and you just do whatever delights you. God's word says there is a correct path. There is a path that leads to the abundant life that he has for you, and there is a path that leads to destruction. And all throughout 2 Timothy, we've seen examples of this. We've seen individuals who chose to lead a life that followed the path of abundant living. And we've seen other individuals who didn't stay on that path. And their lives were led to destruction. And that is not what God has for us. So the Bible tells us the ways to live. But remember, this is good for you. Sometimes we forget that reality. Growing up, that was a really hard thing for me to grasp. But yes, God is trying to get me to live on this narrow path because God just doesn't want me to enjoy life or have any fun. But remember, the reason God corrects us is because it is good for us, and it is a gift to us. But finally, the Bible doesn't just tell us what not to do, it tells us what to do. Now, how often do we focus so much of our attention on what the Bible says not to do when we fail to really recognize that the majority of Scripture is actually focused on this last point of instructing us on how to live a life of righteousness? The Bible tells us how to live within relationships that will be blessed and abundant. The Bible tells us how to spend our time in a way that will be profitable in this world and in the world to come. The Bible tells us and gives us wisdom on how to use our resources in a ways that honors the Lord. The Bible offers us so much wisdom and instruction, but oftentimes we just want to know, what is it that I'm not supposed to do? But the Bible is good for us because it tells us the right things to do as well. Now, I'm a bit of a nerd. I have always loved documentaries, right? If I ever have a little bit of time, my go-to is a documentary. And it may be something that I have never had any interest in, but there's a documentary about it, and I'm going to watch this thing. Well, I've also always been fascinated by the Amish culture, okay? So last week, I had some time, and I'm looking around, and I find a documentary on the Amish culture. So that one just pulls me right in, because it's two great things I can nerd out about. There's a lot of cool things about the Amish culture. They work really hard. They are really committed to community and family, and they have some really great values. And so I came across this documentary that was about a guy who was a minister in the Amish church for about 15 years. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Amish culture, because maybe you've not watched a documentary about it, but the way they find their ministers is quite different. Okay, if you want to become a minister in God's church today, it starts with you having a desire to do that. Well, in the Amish church, it's not that way. In the Amish church, when they need a new minister, what they do is they write down a bunch of names of men who they think would be good ministers, and then they bring those men up front, and they get to draw a straw, basically. And if you happen to be the winner, you are now the minister of this church for life. Okay? It doesn't matter if you don't want to do it. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything about it. It doesn't matter if that's the last thing in the world you want to do. You are the lucky winner, and this is now your calling for life. So this movie was about a man named Lester Graber, and Lester was the fortunate one to win that drawing. And Lester, honestly, he says, I had never had any desire to be a minister in the Amish church. But now here he is. Doesn't matter if he wanted it or not. He finds himself as a minister for life. And so Lester realized, I don't really know much about the Bible, so maybe a good place to start would be studying the Scripture. And so he began to study, and he began to read the Bible. And see, if you know anything about the Amish culture, they believe salvation comes by good works and by good standing within the church. But there was a real problem for Lester, because as he began to read God's word, he began to see that God's word does not line up with the traditions that I've always believed. God's word does not line up with what I have been told my whole life is true. And so he began to express some of these concerns to other ministers and to those over him. And their instruction for him was quite interesting. They said, Lester, you've got to be careful studying the Bible. Because the more you study the Bible, the more likelihood you're going to end up leaving the Amish culture, and we don't want that for you. So here was this man who genuinely was seeking truth, and he was really at a crossroads here. What's he to do? His entire family, his entire life is summed up in this culture right here. But as he began to read God's word did what God's word does. And God's word began to correct his wrong way of thinking. It began to correct his wrong way of living. And it began to show him truth. And it began to show him the ways of righteousness. And over time, Lester began to study the Bible more and more for himself. And eventually, the Amish community excommunicated him and his whole family. You see, I tell you that story to kind of offer you a warning. As great as God's word is and as profitable as it is for you, when you begin to read God's word and accept that as truth in your life, it's going to challenge the traditions of what you know. It's going to challenge the comforts of how you live. It's going to challenge your assumptions about life and about God and about this world. Now, I think that that risk is worth it, because this book is the God-breathed words of life. But this book will not leave you the same if you begin to allow this to be the framework that guides your way of thinking. And so the challenge for you is, what's going to guide your life? It's very easy to allow traditions and what you're comfortable with and what you know to guide your life. Are you willing to follow God's word even when it's uncomfortable, even when it will cost you greatly? For this Amish family, it cost them everything. But they could do that confidently because they were standing upon God's inspired word. So finally, what does the Bible produce? Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this verse is really a purpose statement. This is kind of a purpose clause for verse 16. So we have learned what the Bible is and what the Bible does, and this tells us why. Why does the Bible do those things? It does it so that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, if you were to think about words that you would want to describe your life, complete and thoroughly equipped are pretty good ones, right? That would be a very comforting thing if that was true about your life. Somebody say, you are complete and you are thoroughly equipped. These words are talking about, this is, the Bible produces in someone who wants it to, it produces wisdom. It produces a changed life. It produces someone who can look at the world and they know how to wisely respond. That's what it means to be complete. It means to have a complete or full understanding. It means to have an honest assessment of reality. And so the Bible is what gets us to being those men and women who are complete and mature in our faith. And so that even when we hear the noise of the world, we're not led to fear and confusion because we're complete. We know the truth of God's word, and we know how God would have us to wisely respond. But notice, it also equips us for every good work. Now, when we think about that, the Bible doesn't just give us wisdom, and it doesn't just tell us to withdraw ourselves from the noise of the world. Instead, it tells us, and it equips us, to be ready to respond with good works in the midst of the brokenness of our world. And so even though we live in a noisy and confused and divided time, God is saying, my word will equip you to be able to go out into that broken world and to do the good works that I have called you to do. God's word is what equips us to shine as lights in the midst of a broken and confused generation. But if we fail to allow God's word to be what it is and to do what it does, when we find ourselves in the world, we will not be ready to handle that situation. We won't know how to respond because we'll be confused And we won't know how to respond with love and good works because we've not allowed ourselves to be transformed by the truths of God's Word. So God's Word has equipped us to live victoriously in this world. So these verses have told us what the Bible is and what it does and what the purpose of it is, but we still have to choose how we each will allow it to impact our lives. Just because this is true about the Bible does not mean it's automatically going to change your life. But when we allow the Bible to be more than just another book or more than just something that we read quickly to get through, but it becomes something that we cling to and we look to as our source of life, it begins to do its work that God wants it to do. So how do you respond to God's Word? We live in a very noisy world, and so what makes these earbuds so great is that they're noise-canceling, right? Everybody needs something in their life that's noise-canceling. Maybe you got the spouse that snores. Maybe you've got that, you know, that just constant hum back there that you need to quiet down. That's what you need the noise-canceling headphones for, because the noise-canceling headphones allow you to choose which noises you want to hear. The noise-canceling headphones allow me to block out the noise of the world and just listen to what I'm putting right into my ear. Now, unfortunately, we don't always have the choice of blocking out all the noise around us. As much as we may try to get away from it, we can't. The voices and the noises of this world are constantly, relentlessly assaulting us with their false values. But we do have the choice of which voices we allow to shape our hearts and minds. We do choose what voice creates the framework through which we see the world, and we do choose whose values and voices we trust and we choose to live our lives by. So my hope for you in this new year is that you will turn up the volume of God's Word in your life. You may not be able to silence the world around you, but you can make God's Word more loud in your heart and in your mind. And there's nothing like a new year to challenge us to ask those questions. We don't have to live as victims to the chaos and the division of this world. We can be equipped to shine as lights in the midst of this brokenness because we have been given God's true words. Now, all of us have learned over the last few years to be a little bit skeptical of the things that we read online or the things we hear on TV, and that's a really good thing. Because what we have all learned is that it's very important to check your sources before you accept something as true. And so my encouragement for you this morning is to check your source. What source is truly shaping the view that you have of reality? I know you may quickly answer God's Word, but I challenge you to look deeply at your life and say, where is my life being transformed by the voices of the world and not the voice of our great God? So is your life being shaped by the false values of a dying world, or is the source that is shaping your life the God-breathed Word? These are very important questions for us to answer, not just at the beginning of a year, but constantly throughout our days. And that is why we need relationships with other people, because the relationships with others will drive us to constantly evaluate our lives in honest and beneficial ways. So our hope for you this year is that God's Word will become more precious to you and that God's Word will become more authoritative in your life as you seek to live as lights in the midst of this confused and broken world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Word. Father, I pray that we would not lose sight of how blessed we are to be able to read the words that are from the very mind of the Creator of all things. Father, it's very hard to not be overcome by the traditions that we've had or by the assumptions that we've made or by the voices of the world around us. But Father, I pray that you would give all of us the courage to stand upon your Word. God, that's not easy and that is very scary, but God, we know that it is good for us. So Father, I thank you for these people in this church. I thank you for people who truly desire to live their lives according to your Word. I pray, God, that your Word would speak to us this morning and in the days to come so that we could better orient our lives around your reality so that we could be the men and women that you would have us to be in this world. It's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.